this is the Valley Outdoors, and we are excited to have you guys with us this week. It's going to be fantastic. Ava, you're with us this week.
I'm ready.
Don's out gallivanting around the station somewhere here.
Yeah.
He'll be joining us shortly. And me, I'm Eric. We will be bringing you some pretty cool stories. We're going to talk about a gun law that's going to probably blow you guys away that is looking to be instituted in San Jose, California, and you don't want to have that happen because it may spread from there. Stay tuned. More Valley Outdoors coming right up.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together we can make a difference. Good to see you guys. How's things?
Yeah, good to be here.
Good. Ava?
Yeah, Don found the printer, so we're good.
I love that. Yeah, I took the time to highlight everything, and then you said you didn't highlight anything. I said, yes, I did. And then it turns out we had a black and white printer, and highlighting doesn't work with a black and white printer.
No, need color.
Yeah, so that does help a lot.
It does.
Got to spend this last week on the snowstorm, do a little skiing.
Oh, yeah, I bet that was pretty nice conditions.
Once I got there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only 15 minutes from the house normally.
Right.
Double that and add 10.
I had to go to the airport that night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable. Not so much. How about you, Ava? Do you do anything outside?
Not really. Just work.
Hmm.
Yeah, that was
you
great.
You know, we had the privilege of having a fairly nice day on the weekend, and then it got really cold really fast, and I was surprised how many people were getting off the airplane in shorts.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it was 80 in Florida.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was, but they didn't look and see what the temp was when they were pulling into Minnesota anyway.
They probably got so sunburned, the heat from the sunburn was keeping them warm.
It didn't appear to be.
You ever hear about that?
No, they were doing the
radiant.
They were doing the snow dance.
You mean like the shake?
Yeah,
because it was bad. Yeah, no. It definitely chilly, but. A good week all in all. I think ice fishing, everything, pretty much everywhere. Everybody was able to enjoy recreational outings, including the trails for sledding.
Yes.
Pretty much expanded, and people using them. They've been in great condition. I know up north our guest today, hopefully he'll be joining us today, and he's up north. He said he almost had a foot and a half, 2 feet of snow in nothing flat up north. And, I mean, that's welcome to fantastic trail riding. Everybody's been chomping at the bit, and one of the things that is one of the tips today, a lot of people, when you know, they buy a sled, they want to go out just, let's go run, and they don't understand that you can adjust the sleds to fit your riding style, but not only that, to your weight, so you can really prevent these sleds from either bottoming out, or you can change the rate in which the shocks will move. And each manufacturer, and I was checking this out beforehand, I want to make sure, but each manufacturer has all of their videos online so you can actually find out if it's a Skidoo, if the R-Motion and the R-Motion X rear track system, you can find out how to set that from the professionals. And it really is worth your time to take 15, 20 minutes out of your day and look up how to adjust that and really understand what is going on and how can I have a better riding sled so I'm not fatigued at the end of the day. And obviously, sleds have gone a long way.
Right, with their suspensions.
Yeah, with the suspension, working directly with the Polaris and the Ski-Doo product, and having just released the new 2023 product as well. So one of the things that you find that is there, it's almost overwhelming for some people, the adjustability that's on them. They've actually got a sled it's called the Enduro. It's an air ride system where you turn the dial up on your dash controller. Sure. And it actually pumps up the air system in there on the fly. So the trail got rough. You can adjust it so that you have more travel. It's softer, you want to drop down lower, you just dial it back down. Unbelievable. If you're needing more traction for skis, you can adjust your, it's a metal rod that goes underneath the ski and the carbides, they call them. And you can adjust the height of the carbide within the ski itself as well. So if you're riding on hard packed snow, you can drop the carbide down. If you're more in powder snow, you can pull that up and change it. So the adjustability that goes on, it's really important, I think, to maximize. Now that there are people out big time sledding, take the time to go out and adjust that for you and for the riders that you are working with too.
That's not really unlike, I don't own a sled, but even in our boats, I run an Airwave pedestal in my boat. I think you do too.
Yep.
And they're adjustable. And what a difference that makes when you get them adjusted right, the amount of bounce that you have. I mean, I run a tiller, you run the race boat, and and I'm sure it's the same, for you, because you're sitting further up in the boat.
It's if not more important. Yeah.
Yeah.
At lever point. You're enjoying the ride in the back. You're just punishing your rider that
you
push
poor guy
up,
up front.
He gets beat the tar out of him.
That was a nice ride, wasn't it? And I get the funny look,
He's missing three teeth, and he pulled his hair out on the way. Yeah, it's not good. But, it's the same concept, but you've got so much that's involved on the sled side of it that a lot of people become overwhelmed with the never mind, let's just go riding. So it's worth it. Yeah. It really is. The money you're paying for sleds, take the time to do that and thoroughly enjoy it. I don't know if you guys have seen this, and we don't have the video. We're not going to put the video online, but if you have a chance and you can go online, there is a video online about an ice shanty, and there's two guys in the ice shanty fishing. It's a pop-up type with a basically two seats and a because it'll all fold up into a little
sled. Yep.
And one guy's sitting there, and all of a sudden one guy unzips it and zips it back down, steps out. And you hear the snowmobile start.
Okay.
Then you suddenly see the snow moving in the ice house. The ice holes are gone. The guy took off to go to the grocery store, never unhooked the ice shanty from the sled.
Pulling him?
This guy is being tortured. He's bouncing all over. He's yelling at the guy. Can't hear him. It's the funniest video. So ice shanty takes off. And I think either there might have been a adult beverage involved in that particular case, but nonetheless, it's one of the funniest things ever because they've got a camera that they're using to video inside for their fishing trip.
Sure.
Well, it videoed his adventure
departure
down the ice, and well worth.
Did he lose a rod?
They were moved along. They were gone. They're probably still fishing. So
probably weren't catching much on top of the ice.
Not much. Well, stay tuned, you guys. We're going to be coming right back with Jack Lilwey from Prairie Peak Kennels. We're going to talk some pretty cool dog hunting and training type things. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back. Always make sure. Check us out on Facebook. And where else, Don?
And the Valley Outdoors.
The Valley Outdoors. I was just perusing that. I pulled up Michigan, and I was looking at some different the seasons. And, they've got – you click on the state, and then you can go fishing, hunting, trails. And then I pulled up the trails for sleds. And it's amazing. It's an interactive map. You zoom in, and it shows all the trails in all of Michigan. I suspect same thing with the DNR sites for Wisconsin and Minnesota. But it was awesome. Zoom down in, and you can see all the different color types. You click on the actual trail, and then it'll give you what the trail is, who maintains the trail, and further details if you want them. It's pretty cool.
It's a cool app that's on our site, and you know, you can go to any state and get all that information. Yep. And it's so easy. It's a one-stop shop for.
I was just impressed with the sleds because I, yep. It so often can be difficult to figure out where do we want to go.
Yep.
And they've got dumped on.
In Michigan?
Oh, over 3 feet of snow. I got some friends going up there. Unbelievable.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Well, I think the whole Midwest has had their fair share of snow this year already, so been a good year.
We're getting there.
For the sledders.
Yeah. Not a lot of over 3-inch snowfalls, as I checked it out, but a significant number of the 2.5-inch snowfalls, so kind of cool. We have a couple different sturgeon updates, Don.
Yeah, I was looking at those. There's some heavy-duty.
Kind of cool.
Yep.
Wisconsin sturgeon season.
This is on Lake Winnebago in Wisconsin.
Yep. And day 13 of the 2022 sturgeon spearing season, so a small number of sturgeon speared. 35 sturgeon were harvested on day 13. 35 consisted of 3 juveniles, 17 adult females, and 15 males. That's the highest harvest since this last Sunday, and attributed to more spears on the ice as the weekend approaches. Total fish harvested on Lake Winnebago increased to 969 in the Winnebago system. Total increased to 1318. And the reason they say the system, I don't know if you're familiar with Winnebago, Don.
I am, yeah. My grandfather. So you've
got, right. So you've got Poygan, Butamore. You know, there's a three-lake chain that goes on there.
Up by Oshkosh?
Yep. And so they've got quite a few different connectivities through the river there.
Where are most of the sturgeon caught, though? Do you know?
There's speared in Winnebago, primarily. In the biggest lake. In the big lake.
Yep.
And largest fish speared was 120.6 pounds, 77 inches long. It was a female. And one of the things, I've fished there a lot, and what you find is the fishery is very diverse. The unfortunate part is that the walleye population just gets hammered with the amount of tournaments that go on in that lake. And, I mean, it's literally every weekend.
Right.
So, granted, it is for the most part catch and release. But, yeah, it's heavily used, let's put it that way. When close proximity of Oshkosh, everybody goes out and goes Fond du Lac and Oshkosh.
Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Appleton. I think, is it Nina on one side of the lake, too?
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's a cool lake, though. I will say that, as far as fishing goes. So let's move on to Michigan. The Black Lake sturgeon season wrapped up. How long do you think it'd take them to wrap up, Don?
I have no idea.
Ava,
I've never fished for sturgeon.
I have never fished for it either.
Okay. And again, it's the spearing season, but 36 minutes.
Well, what were there? How many were they allowed to take?
Hang on, we're getting there. 62-inch male sturgeon harvested at the 2022 Black Lake sturgeon season. After 36 minutes of the season, this season's sturgeon on Black Lake ended, and this happens to be in Sheboygan and Presque Isle counties, ended at 8:36 February 5th, included spearing and hook and line fishing both. It was scheduled to run 5th through the 9th until the harvest limit quota of 6 lake sturgeon have been reached. Anglers initially were allocated a season quota of 7 sturgeon, but the Michigan DNR set the harvest limit at 6. The action needed to accommodate the expected number of anglers and anticipate possibility of near simultaneous harvest. So, you know, you can't guarantee somebody's not going to say, okay, the season closed, but they both caught them at the same time. So 565 anglers, that's a lot to go for 7 fish or 6 fish. First fish was 59.5 inches, 48 pounds. Next one was 62 inches, 67 pounds, 25 pounds, 45, 23, and 35. So not a lot of monster fish, but nonetheless, there was some good fish caught. So kind of one of those, I have to admit, it is kind of fun.
I've never done it. And you know, I've actually got a friend that's up on the Rainy River up in right on the border with Canada that last year invited us to come up and fish for sturgeon that come out of Lake of the Woods and run on the Rainy River. And I don't know. It's usually done early in the year, I think.
Yep.
So
yep, definitely. Yeah. You know, and I have to tell you, from fishing shallow in the river here this summer and throwing a rip and wrap, I think I may have mentioned, had one that was over, it's close to 66 inches.
Wow.
Pulled alongside of the boat. We just took a rough guess on where it was, and it actually hit that bait and went airborne. I mean, it launched, and it was only 3 feet of water, and it was like a dolphin, literally.
Sure.
You know, and boy, they got a little power.
Oh, yeah.
And you imagine...
a lot of weight there, too.
Yeah. You know, and when you see, if you're sturgeon spearing and you see that big fish come underneath,
it's like a whale.
Welcome to an adrenaline rush times 10.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. So kind of a neat experience. Whether you believe in the spearing aspect or not, at least that way you're able to identify the fish and it works really quite well and you know the deal. So, yeah. So, tell you what, Don, before we jump into this next story, we're going to talk about a new gun ownership law that's going to go into effect in San Jose, California, possibly. We want to look at that, and we'll come right back with that. Stay tuned. Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Welcome back, and unfortunately we're trying to get Jack on from Prairie Peak Kennels, and I think he got stuck in a snowbank.
Couldn't make the connection. Well, no. We'll get him next week.
You bet. And of course, a lot of times with a lot of the various snow conditions or weather conditions, it kind of can create an issue with cell phones. So,
right.
Hope all is good there. So, anyway, I kind of previewed a gun law that's looking at going into effect in San Jose. The city council, they voted by a wide margin on January 25th to adopt two gun control measures not found anywhere in the United States, Don.
This is in San Jose, California?
As it says, yep.
Okay.
First, it would require gun owners in the city to purchase liability insurance covering losses or damages related to negligent or accidental use of the firearm, including death and injury. The second would further require gun owners to pay gun harm reduction fee to a designated nonprofit organization. The city council will set the fee and designate the nonprofit in a separate resolution. This resolution has not been introduced, but council members in the latest meeting suggested the fee could be $25 a year. Failure to comply with either ordinance could result in fines and firearm confiscation.
Well, that may fly in California, but I think they'll struggle the rest of the country. There's maybe a couple other states that would consider something like that.
It's a slippery slope.
Well, it is. That's why I say I could see it happening in a state like California, but I can't see it happening, let's say, in the Midwest.
And, you know, and again, one of the things that was also stated was the gun owners and residents said that they called the law unjust and... how they're levying fees on gun owners how it's going to stop violent criminals. How is that going to happen?
No, it's not going to help.
No. So you're putting a law in that doesn't make any difference.
It only hinders the law-abiding gun owner.
Exactly right.
That's it, because those that shouldn't have one aren't going to follow the rules anyway. So
no.
They haven't been. Well, I don't know why they think that would change.
No, and of course, you coming back from the SHOT Show and everything, one of the guys from the National Shooting Sports Foundation, Mark Oliva, the Gun Industry Trade Association, they likened the San Jose's new requirement to combating illegal narcotics by taxing prescription medication customers.
Right.
Same thing.
Right.
Later, his comment compared the fees to a poll tax. San Jose's mayor and city councilor conflating the law of lawful ownership and use of firearms with criminal actions. And of course, I would agree, that's beyond unfair. The problem of criminal misuse of firearms must be addressed, and not by punishing those who abide by the law, by punishing those who break the law. It's pretty simple.
Well, for most of us, it seems that way, but for others, it doesn't seem to appear that way.
Remember ice fishing and shanties, what it leads to?
Yeah, right.
The Second Amendment Foundation is currently preparing a lawsuit that the organization plans to file once the measure becomes law. The suit will attack the San Jose ordinances on the Second Amendment grounds, but they will also argue that it violates California state preemption law. Now, this is crazy. In general terms, the law prohibits local governments from enacting gun control regulations stricter than those imposed by the state. San Jose's law is obviously stricter than anything passed so far by the state legislature. He said the preemption angle may be stronger than the Second Amendment angle. He doesn't believe legislation can pass a similar law anytime soon due to the expense of administering it statewide. I would have to agree. State lawyers of San Jose will also have to deal with the fact that as of January 21st, no insurance companies offer separate standalone gun liability coverage. According to the Insurance Information Institute, that is, Gottlieb said that the San Jose gun owners are unable to obtain policies required under the law. The gun rights group could file suit based on the law's harm to gun owners. Because they would literally say, you don't have insurance, we're going to take your guns. Well, there isn't anything available. Well, that's tough. We're going to take them anyway. That's where this could go.
Right.
So,
I mean, there is insurance available for law-abiding gun owners if they choose to carry it.
Not this
but
kind
it's not,
of insurance.
Not that type of insurance.
Nope. Kevin Small of the California Rifle and Pistol Association is doubtful San Jose residents can convince the council to change course. At the last meeting, the overwhelming majority of people told their city council members that not to pass the ordinance, right?
Right.
They told them, do not pass the ordinance, and they passed it anyway. He said he doesn't see any reason for the council to change their tune when it comes up for vote next month. Gun owners in other states have a reason to watch the lawsuits closely because, as Small explained, gun control laws can quickly spread to other states and municipalities. California and New York end up being ground zero for a lot of these laws to be tried.
But this isn't a state law. This is a ordinance, right, from a city.
A city.
Right.
But the problem is it could be said, hey, look at this. Let's put this into effect, and then they would have a chance to say, look, the state can change its requirements so that it wouldn't have that preemptive law in that case.
Sure.
If you don't have that preemptive law, in other words, if your state establishes a stricter level, then anybody could be thrown right into the mix.
Right.
So that, in my mind, no bueno. That's not a good thing. And
it's California.
One of the last things you said, if this is the case, New York can be ground zero with California, and they'd spread like an infection across the United States if it doesn't get struck down immediately. What do you think about them apples?
Like I say, I could see that it would pop up in a couple other states, but I don't see it going across the flyover state, so to speak.
No.
Or the South, for that matter.
No. Land of rocks and cows.
Good luck in the South.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Anything south of Mason-Dixon is going to be...
No, I mean, it's
good luck.
It's kind
where
like
are
the,
you from?
It's kind of like the Parents' Rebellion going on right now. I think you'd see it, so...
Yeah, exactly. Another news that was I thought was rather bizarre, the current administration is considering closing some public lands to hunting and fishing. November 2021, animal rights activist group, the Center for Biological Diversity, sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife over a 2020 decision by the past administration to expand hunting and fishing opportunities within the National Wildlife Refuge system. News recently broke and that the present administration is engaged in private talks to settle that lawsuit, which could potentially lead to closure of nearly 100 refuges, potentially millions of acres of public lands that are open now to hunting and fishing. A few short months ago, current administration was touting the largest expansion of hunting and fishing in history. on these lands, and they're now negotiating with animal rights activists over hunting opportunities while excluding sportsmen from having a seat at the table. And this is directly from the Sportsmen's Alliance Foundation and Evan Huskevelt. So the environmental extremist group is also going after similar actions that the previous administration enacted during 2020. And that opened up 2.3 million acres on 138 refuges across 9 fish hatcheries to hunting and fishing. The 56-page lawsuit from the Center for Biological Diversity was filed in District Court, Montana. They said the hinges on the effects of lead ammunition and fishing tackle could have an endangered species within a specific refuges. Claiming that the use of that metal violates the Endangered Species Act, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service began phasing out all use of lead in the refuge already because we use steel shot.
Right.
And so that's a big thing. So lead fishing tackle has already been banned in many refuges, and lead shot for waterfowl hunting has been illegal since 1991.
Well, there's not a lot. I mean, actually, there's not a lot of fishing going on where there's waterfowl hunting, typically.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Shallow. So that's a story for you, Don. I'm a little baffled, but again, it's one of these things. We have to watch what happens within our area. Write your congressmen, write your senators, write them and let them know how you feel about different laws and pieces and parts that are going on within your area. So be aware, and we'll try to do our best to keep you updated and aware on what's going on. So
should stay tuned next week. If you've got a hunting dog, you might want to be tuned in to hear our guest. Hopefully we'll be able to connect next week.
It'll be good. Prairie Peak Kennels will join us next week. Thanks for joining us. For Don, Ava, myself, I'm Eric. We are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out.